Everything on here is what you need to know besides the Mishnah Berurah, the Shulchan Aruch. But the Shulchan Aruch that you can look in yourself. We'll try to get through Dal and Minim L'maisa. This could be the first year that you're buying the Dal and Minim yourself and not having it bought for you. But it's always good to know exactly what to look for. So we'll try to go through the Dal and Minim, what to look for. Maybe talk a little bit about the mitzvah of Netila itself. And then if there's time, we'll try to maybe even have someone or two Divrei Torah for Inyan Sukkos, which is also L'maisa. We'll start off with a more of a Divrei Torah, and then we'll get to the halachas. The Torah tells us in Parshas Emor and Berachav Gimel, "Lakafta lechem ayam arishon, you shall take on day one." We know Mida Araisa lulav is only one day, and Mida Rabbanan Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was masakin that we take it all days of Sukkot, Zeichel Mikdash, and the Beis Hamikdash, there was a mitzvah all 7 days. Usmachtem lechem Hashem lekecha shavas yamin, but Mida Araisa is only one day. Pri Eitz Hadar. A beautiful fruit, so we know that means an esrog, right? Those learning Yevamos this year know that Drachar Dachei Noam comes up in Sukkah relating to what a Priyetz Hadar is. But Priyetz Hadar, Kapos Tamarim, Anaf Eitz Avos V'Arvi Nachal. The Dal and Minim are mentioned here in the Pasuk. It's interesting, just a Dvar Musar before we get into the Halacha. If you look in the Torah, first it says Lakachtam Lachem Yom Rishon Priyet Sadar Kapos Tamarim, and the next pasuk is Basukos Teshuv Shivas Yamim. Dal and Minim are before Sukkah, and yet Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, when he wrote Mishnayos, he made the first two prakim of Sukkah all about Sukkah, and only the third and fourth parak Lulav Hagazel Lulav Arava about the Dal and Minim. So why did he flip the order? Torah Shabbosav has Dal and Minim before Sukkah, and Torah Shabbal Peh Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi put Sukkah before Dal and Minim. So once heard that maybe it's connected to the thought of Rebbe Yitzchak Mibarditchev, that many quote. It's quoted here on the side of the Yochanan Boaz Mishnayos, the classic Mishnayos, is this Tosfos Chadashim, which is a compilation of more modern thoughts. But they quote this from Rebbe Yitzchak at the beginning of Maseches Pesachim, where Rebbe Yitzchak points out, we call the holiday in Nisan that goes for 7 days Pesach. But if you look in the Torah, it's not Pesach. If you look in the Torah, Erev Pesach is Pesach. The 7 day holiday is Chag HaMatzos. So why do we call it Pesach? Why do we call it Pesach? Hashem calls it Chag HaMatzos. So Rebbe Yitzchak says, oh, it goes back to the Gemara at the beginning of Brachas. Gemara says in Davav, Hashem wears tefillin and we wear tefillin. What does it say in our tefillin? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elkeinu, Hashem Echad. What does it say in Hashem's tefillin? Mi kamcha Yisrael goyechad baaretz. Hashem always praises us and we always praise Him. That's the way the relationship works. He always, that's the best marriage. Right? They're each complimenting each other. We're always complimenting Hashem, and Hashem's always complimenting us. So in our tefillin, Hashem alakein Hashem echad. Hashem's tefillin, mika amcha yisrael goyechad baaretz. Says Rebbe Levi Yitzchak, Pesach reminds us that Hashem passed over the houses. He protected us. He didn't let the malach hamavos go in. That's why we call it Pesach, because it's about Hashem's greatness. Matzah is about we left without any food. We trusted Hashem. With just some dough on our back, matzah. That's why Hashem calls it Chag HaMatzos. But we call it Chag HaPesach, because that's about Hashem's greatness. Sukkah is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu protecting us, whether it's literally Sukkos or Sukkos Mamish. Right? So literally Sukkos or the Anani HaKavid, the clouds of glory. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi puts Sukkah first. Hashem puts Dal and Minim first, because Dal and Minim is right after Yom Kippur. We go and we go out with our Dal and Minim, shows us doing mitzvos, and in that way, it shows our greatness. That's why, just a little, right, in the Torah Shebachsav, Sukkah is before Dal and Minim, because Dal and Minim is before Sukkah, because Dal and Minim represent our going out to do mitzvos, while Sukkah represents Hashem's protection of us, and that's why that's first. Okay, Dvar, Machshava, Umusar, Yotzei. Now let's move on to the, not Yotzei, but just for now. Now let's move on to the Dal and Minim. So what to look for in the Dalid Minims. Let's start with Esrog. Esrog is the one that probably people spend the most time on, and one has to make sure. So number one, generally, you have to buy an Esrog from somebody, from a Ne'eman person. There's something that it's not so common today, but generally Esrogim have Echsherim nowadays. Why do they have Echsherim? Because in the days of old, not as much common today, there was something called Murkav. There was something called a mixture, a hybrid. It was literally a lemon and an esrog, or some combination. So a big discussion whether you're allowed to use a murkav or not. If it's mostly esrog, big discussion on the Achronim. I gave you the Shvus Yaakov in source number 4. The Shvus Yaakov tells a story of Yaakov Reischer, 1700s, tells a story about a Zeda, that one time the Shach visited And the Shach said, it's kosher, you can use it. And he told the Chazan, you can use this Murkav. And right when the Chazan was about to use it, it fell on the floor and the pitten broke off and that was it. And the Shach took it as a Sivim and Hashemayim. It must be that I was wrong. And he apologized later in his life to this to Shlomo Yaakov's grandfather. Okay, but either way, Murkav is an issue. So that's why, generally, all the Esrogim that you're going to get come in a box and they have a Hechsher. This year, probably not Shaykh, but if you come next year, Brother Shem, it'll be a need a Hechsher for another reason, because it'll be about Shemitah. Right, as we mentioned a few weeks ago, generally Esrogim, according to most Rishonim, Esrogim go by like regular fruit, meaning they're only going to have Kedusha next year. But there are some that say, like the Rambam, that Esrogim go like vegetables and it goes by when they're picked. And therefore, if the Esrogim were picked this week, then it would have Kedusha Shvius. So then you'd have to know, does it have Kedusha, does it not have Kedusha? That's another reason for the Hechsher. But again, most Esrogim this year will not have Kedusha, 99% either, because we hold like those Rishonim. Or there are others that say they picked them anyway before Rosh Hashanah. So that's why either way it won't have Kedusha. I mean, they don't have Kamina. You're allowed to use an Esrog of Shemitah. You just have to treat it with Kedusha. How you buy it, that's the question. Right? That's what the Mishnah talks about in Sukkah. But again, that's not so much Lamaisa this year. But what do you look for? You look for Shinui Mara. Look for some change in the way that an Esrog looks. So Tafresh Memches is what you look for, is the siman about Esrogim. So three issues. Number one, if the majority of an Esrog has discoloration, it's a problem. Very unusual. That Esrog is not going to make it to the store. It's probably not going to get off the tree if most of it has discoloration, if it's a black Esrog. Right? Generally, it's not going to make it to the store, but that would possel it. If most of it has discoloration, that's not Sola Maisa. Number two, also the Shulchan Aruch says, if there's a problem with the Esrog that's visible from all sides, also not usually so common. If it's spot on an Esrog, it's one spot. Both of those would be problematic. But the third is the issue that comes up. Tuf Reish Bem Ches Yud Beis, and that is the top part. The top third, where it starts going in towards the top of the Esrog. That's called the chotem, the nose of the esrog, and that has to be cleaner than the other parts of the esrog. There, we don't want any spots. Mechotmo ve'elach, tahayna mimakom shemaschel shapeya ara pitma. This is Tafresh Bemches Sif Yud Beis. Posel chazazis. Right, any type of problematic spot would be a problem. What's a problematic spot? The Shulchan Aruch says later on, black or white. Black or white. Problematic spots. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says later on. It's if Tezayin by Yishchorim, right? Or right or white. He says also black or white spots are the are white. Brown. So that's a question. So we try on that part of the Esrog. You know, we live in an affluent time that you know you could just choose another Esrog. But technically, if it's just brown and got a little discolored, because often, let's say, a leaf would lean on it during the growing process, you try to rub it off and it doesn't come off, and it's part of like a leaf that leaned on it, that's not a problem. That's not something inherent in the Esrog. It might not be hadar to you. Might not be beautiful to you. So therefore, you might want to choose another one. But generally, only black or white spots on the top. How does one look at it? How does one look at it? So the Shulchan Aruch says, in Sifkatan Mem Vav, Mishnah Berurah says, this is an unknown Mishnah Berurah, or maybe it's known, but people are just extra machmir. Vidavka kishenira lakol, only if the spot is visible to everybody. Avalam einira la'ayin machmas dakuso, vitzarech lehistakel, you have to focus. You see that spot? No, I don't see it. No, look closer. No, hold it up to your nose, and then look. It says in Mishnah Berurah, ein zekol shaposel. That's not a problem. And this is what Rabbi Yashiv says, and this is what many poskim say. How do you look at the Esrog? Not with a magnifying glass. You look at the Esrog, you hold it out, arm straight. You put the Esrog in your hand, you look at it. That's the way you can look at an Esrog, and if it's beautiful, even if you were look at it with a tiny little microscope, you might see something, but that is a kosher, mehuder Esrog, as long as there are no spots from that distance. But again, the most important parts are the top part. If there's a spot towards the bottom, if there's a scratch, as long as it's not missing, it's okay. That's the next psul. Chaser. Again, most Esrogim that we get are not going to be missing anything. Again, in the days of yore, it was more of an issue. Rav Moshe Feinstein, they write in his biography that he was the Rav of the Shul in Russia, and he had the same lulav and Esrog for 3 years. for 3 years. They couldn't get it. And they used it for 3 years. So he kept it. He kept it hanging, and he was the Rav. And, you know, we think we know what Yavish is. You know, you read about Lulav Yavish, dried out. We have no idea what Yavish means. We have no idea. Like, a couple years later, you know, that's then you get into the discussion of Yavish. So again, one has to know these halachas. But again, Shini Mare on the top, and missing any part, that would be a problem. If something is a chaser. So what about a pitum? What about a pitum? The pitum is on the top part. It's on the top part of the Yesrog. So the Shulchan Aruch discusses. So again, usually sometimes people are very emotional about getting pitums or not getting pitums. You know, I grew up with pitums. You know, my father, we always get pitums on it. Once I had my first child, that's it, no more pitums. I don't want to have anxiety, and you know, I could deal without the pitum. It has to grow without a pitum. If it grows with a pitum and then falls off, you know, that's a problem. But there are pitumless and pitum. But either way, that's the part. The Shulchan Aruch says, Siv Zayin, Nital Dado, Vuhu Arosh HaKatan, Sheshoshan Tobo Puzzle. Right? If you're missing the top part, missing the pitum, it's puzzle, because that's considered chaser. That's considered chaser. V'yesh machmir im nitla shushanta, that im ashanar korim pitma. Summer machmir, even if part of the pitum comes off, even if you have the stick coming out, but just like that little round top piece at the top. V'tov v'achmir makam she'efshar. We try not to mess around. We try not to have any part of the pitum come off. Again, if one wants one with a pitum, you just got to be careful. You just got to be careful, because that's an ikker part of the esrog. How big does the esrog have to be? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that machlokas tanoim, the size of an egg is the smallest. One of my neighbors has an esrog tree. He brought over esrogim 2 days ago to look at. There was one esrog that was tiny. He says, "Yeah, my son wants to use this one. Could he use it?" So just for the kiyum of it, you use a normal size esrog, right? You know, our esrogim are generally bigger than an egg, even according to the tzlach, which I gave you, that holds that our eggs are only half the size of the earlier generation eggs. Again, a separate topic, why the Nodav Yehuda has all of his shiurim much larger. But again, as long as it's the size of an egg, it is okay. And generally, hadar, priates hadar. What is hadar? What is beautiful? Symmetrical, nice color. You should, it should be good. It should be chaviv to you. Choose an esrog that grabs you. You know, and different people, you know, different esrogs grab them. You know, some people like dafka yellow, some people green, some people don't care about the color. But hadar is beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, as it comes to esrogim too. Okay, almost every esrog, if not all esrogim that you will see, will be kosher, unless it's missing the pitum, or unless it's a piece chunk out of it, which they're not going to be selling. But again, as long as, you know, you want something hadar, again, if there's a major spot or scratch on top, you know, you try to stay away from that. But other than that, the esrog should be would be okay. Good. That's that. Any questions about esrog? Priyas hadar? No. Lulav. So the lulav is three simanim earlier. Tuf resh mem hey. Tuf resh mem hey. So if the top of the lulav is chopped off, that's pasul. That's katum. Nek tam rosho. So when does that ever come up? So generally it doesn't, unless there's a hoshana accident, right? Sometimes if somebody is not careful where they point their hoshanas, you know, it could really destroy the point. And that could be an issue. But generally, lulavim are not katum. What does one look for in a lulav? The key is the middle leaf. You know, sometimes you have a floppy lulav that a lot of the leaves are out. So maybe that's not hadar for you. That's fine. You could take a different one. But even if some of the outer leaves are a little separated, you got to look at the middle one, the tiomes. You look at the middle one, and you follow along. You have to look at the lulav, and you follow along to the middle one. Every leaf of the lulav is double. They're two leaves together. So the middle one has to have the two sides of it as tight as possible. L'chadchila, the best is if they're totally tight. They're totally tight all the way up. If they're separated, as long as it's not the rove down, it's kosher. But we try not to have that. We try to have as closed as possible. You just got to look. You take the lulav, you go carefully with the middle leaf, and you follow it up. And as long as the middle one is closed, it's kosher. And the more closed it is, the more hadar the lulav is. That's the that's what you look for in a lulav. Again, nechlekat yomis, where it's split, that's the problem. But you got to try to be as close as possible. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara, what about a hymnic? What's hymnic? Remember that word from Lulav HaGazal? Hymnic means if it's like a V on top. It's only separated a little bit, not the rove, but it's mamish, out. It looks like a V. So the Shulchan Aruch says that's puzzle. If it looks bad, it looks, it's not just like separated like this. Like it's a little bit separated. But if it's like out, even if it's only a little bit, so that's a problem, the Shulchan Aruch says. Nistak in Siv Zayin, Tafresh Mem Hei Zayin, in Nisrach Kushnei Stagov, Zeh Mizeh, Ad Sheniru Kishnayim, puzzle. Right, and therefore one should be careful about the hymnic. Sometimes you get lulavs like that. Sometimes you find a lulav that got like bent or something, and you see it. It looks split. If it looks split, then one shouldn't use that lulav. How long does a lulav have to be? This is also something that not everybody is aware of. Right, the Shulchan Aruch says in Tafresh Nun, the minimum is 4 tfachim, the shidra. The spine itself is 4 tfachim. Why? Because the Shulchan Aruch says the hadasim and the arava should be 3 tfachim, and the shidra of the lulav should be at least 1 tefach higher. Kadeshi ye shidro shalulav yotzim and a hadas tefach. So how tall is that? How tall is 4 tfachim? Again, if you're American, it's about a foot. About a foot, about 3 inches per tefach. About a foot. The foot is, a third of a meter, right? Third of a meter. So that's as much as the shidra should be. I gave you a picture. Look in source number 7. This is a very nice sefer. If you want it, not even for this year, but for the future, the Lulav and Esrog Handbook. Art Scroll has one. Rav Rimon also has a sefer on Dalan Minim with nice, beautiful pictures. So this is from there. You see the middle part where the leaves start up until, right, the hard part, until where the leaves start branching off on top. That's the shidra. So that's the spine of the lulav. That should be 4 tefach. That should be, a third of a meter or a foot. Sometimes lulavs aren't that as tall. Doesn't mean you have to get a huge one, but that's what the lulav, that's the length of the lulav, what it should be. Some have the minhag, maybe some Hungarian Jews, I think I remember growing up, that they dafka ask, sometimes if you sell lulav menesrogim, you have all of these requests that people have. They want this, they want that. They want a kneppel. Have you heard of a kneppel? A kneppel. What's a kneppel? Where the top of the lulav is bent back. It's so closed that it's covered. It's like bent over on itself. That's why some lulavs grow like that. A kneppel. So the rush, the great rush, Rabbeinu Asher says, I love kneppels. He didn't say that word. But he says, oh, oevani. Right, that's something that that the Rush is excited about. That's what the Rush says here in Tafresh Mem Hei. Tafresh Mem Hei says the Tafresh Mem Hei. The Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Tes. Also Chazazis. Oh, this is Tafresh Mem Ches. Sorry, Tafresh Mem Hei. Where are we? Tafresh Mem Hei says the Shulchan Aruch. Im kafuf rosho pasul. The Shulchan Aruch says, if it's bent over, it's pasul. V'davka k'shidraso kfufa. You're allowed to have a little bent lulav. It doesn't have to be perfectly straight. It could be a little bent over. But if the top tip is bent over, the Shulchan Aruch says pasul. The Mishnah Berurah. V'harash kasav oev ani yoser latzisbo. I love it, because then it doesn't separate. Then you know for sure it's closed. So the Shulchan Aruch says it's pasul. So one shouldn't use that l'chachila. Many poskim say that they quote from the Chazon Ish and the disciple, they use a non-kneppel one, a regular lulav, and then because the Rush says he loves the kneppels, they took it afterwards. But that's a minhag if some has to use the kneppel. If it's not your minhag, so then one should not use it, because the Shulchan Aruch says it is possible to use that. Again, bent is okay, only very bent would be a problem. But that's in terms of the lulav. Again, remember the length, and remember the middle leaf. The middle leaf is the key, what to look for. Okay, moving right along. Hadasim, the key is two things to remember. Number one, as we know, avos. The Gemara says, what's avos? Hadasim grow 3 leaves altogether. If they could be in the same line horizontally, that's the best thing about hadasim. Right? Sometimes they grow with 2 and then one's a little bit above. So the more of the hadas that you could have, three leaves right, in the same level. So that's called, that's mehudar of a hadas. That's why you'll see hadasim. They have different packages. They have hadasim according to Rav Chaim Noah and according to the Chazon Ish. What's the difference? It means the Chazon Ish has bigger shiurim for almost everything. So more of the hadas is mishulash, as it's called. That they're all three that are on the same level. So that's what we try to look for in a hadas. And the hadasim, you know, is three hadasim and triple on one line. If they get dried out, hadasim generally do okay. Aravas are the ones that have to be changed. Hadasim generally do okay. But again, they shouldn't be cut off. If your hadas, sometimes a hadas gets, I've had some of my kids, it's like you, all of a sudden you look and you're like, the top of it is like bent. So a hadas specifically could be nektam rosho is kasher. The machlokas in the tanoim, if you have the other ones that are kasher, as long as one of them, maybe two of them, but if that's the only hadas you have, you could use it. You could use it. Better not to, but if that's what you have, then it is okay. One should be very careful, though, and this is what they point out in the handbook in source number 9, when we put the hadasim and the aravas into the holders, often you like shove them in, and like half the leaves fall off as you shove it in. And then like there's, you don't see it, but the hadas is pasul because there's no leaves on it anymore. So one should be very careful when putting the hadasim and the aravos in the holders that the one does it softly so the leaves are still attached. Even when one puts it in. But again, hadasim, the mishulish is the most important thing about mod hadas. Aravos, the leaves just have to be there and it can't be dried out. Right? The leaves, most of the leaves still have to be there. Aravos, generally, it's a good idea to change in the middle of Sukkot because those get the most dried out and they get brittle and they fall off. Again, those are the cheapest and you can generally find aravos in throughout. But again, figure out exactly also how to keep everything fresh and keep everything moist during the time. But again, as long as one watches them every morning, it should be okay. So again, esrog and lulav are the ones that have more to focus on, and then you have the dasam and the ravos. That's in terms of the chepsa shel mitzvahs. Let's talk a little bit about the ma'isa netila. The Shulchan Aruch quotes based on the Gemara that the lulav goes in the right hand and the esrog goes in the left hand. Right, that's what the Gemara says, because the lulav has three mitzvahs. It's the lulav, the adasim, and the aravos. It seems, the Magen Avraham discusses, that this seems to be the ideal way of holding the dalaminim. Meaning, not as many of us do, we just have them all in our right hand, and we hold the siddur and the machzor in our left hand. Lechatchila, for sure, at the time that you're doing the mitzvah, and you're doing them and you're shaking it, it should be in two hands. The lulav in the right and the esrog in the left. Or if you're a lefty, machlokas b'chav and the Ramah says to flip it, right? The lulav in the left and the esrog in the right. Machlokas b'chav and the Ramah. So whatever you do is okay, because some say, you know, one should follow their custom. But there are those that are very machped, because the language of the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch is lulav b'yamin v'esrog b'smol. So when you're standing on a shtender, that's fine. So what about when you're doing hoshanas? So there are those that are machber. They say in brisk. They say somebody used to go in front of the chazan holding a siddur, walking backwards, while the chazan held his dal and minim. Right, nowadays, we don't need a person walking backwards. We have those cool, you know, ring Hoshana things, right? Or just like cards. Or you can just try to, like, put the machzor on your arms. Again, but it's a chumrah during Hoshanas, because you're already yotzei the mitzvah. But one should make sure that it's a great, nice chumrah to hold of, but it shouldn't be a chumrah dasa de kula. I'm going to be so machpid about trying to hold my machzor and dalad mina, I'm going to be poking the guy in front of me, right, now looking about where the point is. So that's machmer bid adam lamakom and being mekel bid adam lachavera. Right, so one has to be careful that one should, you know, one could try to do that, but again, only if it's, if it works. Again, we mentioned the lefty-righty issue. Any lefties here? There's a great Rav Chaim Kanievsky, obviously has Sfarim on everything, but if you ever looked, he has a sefer on the Maseches Ketanos, Maseches Tefillin, Maseches Mezuzah, Maseches Sefer Torah. So in Maseches Tefillin, so he has there where it talks about like what arm to put your tefillin on. So there he quotes 88 halachos minhagim, you know, that have to do with righty lefty, and he has 8 categories of what changes when you're a lefty and what doesn't change, like Shmon Esrei, you go to the left first because it's about the min of Hashem and Hashem's across from you. Osa Shalom, shoes, tefillin. He has 8 categories of when it doesn't change, when it changes, and fascinating. But you can look up that makar. Okay, so that's in terms of lefty-righty. How to pick it up, so that again is a major machlokas. Tosfos has many days about this. Those were here Limsachim last year. Tosfos was like a sukkah about what do you do? What's the problem? We want to get over Lasiyasa. We want to make the bracha beforehand. The problem is, when I pick it up, I'm done. I'm Yotzei already. So the minhag of Klal Yisrael is to flip it, right? To pick it up upside down. Pick up the esrog upside down, because one is only yotzei the mitzvah if I'm holding the dalaminim as they grew from the ground. If I'm holding the esrog upside down, I'm not yotzei yet. So I hold it upside down, then make the brachos, and then turn it over. That's one way. The Vilna Gaon said, no, pick it up straight, but have kavana shalo latzeis. Have kavana not to be yotzei until after the bracha. Okay, so that one has that custom, fine. That's probably too hard for the Hamon Am to have that kavana. Just pick it up upside down. That's easier to handle. The Aruch Laner in the Sefer on Masechah Sukkah even discusses, what do you do if you have a lulav from Australia? Right? Because the way it grows is upside down. The way where I'm standing on earth, right, it grew upside down. So the Aruch Laner at least has that question. He says, no, you can hold it straight up because you go by how it's from the earth, not like physically if you know the globe. But he asked that question. But it's in terms of the mice and the tila, but different minhagim about when one does the mice and the tila, that you do it in the sukkah, the Arizal, Kabbalist Hasidim do it in the sukkah, the Tur and others quote do it right before Hallel. Whatever one's minhag is, one can remember it. Okay, let's have a couple of thoughts, different machshava that you have. You're going to be at different places on sukkahs, right? You need to have divrei Torah. Right, it's your responsibility. You're the ones learning all day, so to make sure that you come prepared. I'm just give you two or three thoughts in Yoni Sukkah. The Shemin HaTorah. Did I give you this one? I don't think so. I might have put one in the end. Yes, I gave you this one. Source 11. The Shemin HaTov. It was by Dov Weinberger. Zecharon Levracha. He was a rav in Brooklyn for many years. He discusses the Medrash that many are familiar with. The Medrash says that the dal and minim are connected to different parts of our body. Right, the esrog is the heart, and the lulav is the spine, and the aravos are the lips, and the hadasim are our eyes. And he asks a simple question. Two aravos, two lips. One esrog, one heart. One lulav, one spine. Three hadasim, two eyes. Right, it's not parallel. Where does the other eye come from? So he says, maybe it means the eye of Havana, the eye of understanding. Maybe that's the extra eye. Even in English, we say it, right? You say, I see. Now I see it. Tuchavrus is talking. What do you mean you see? What do you see? Sometimes a seeing could mean understanding. Okay, that's one. But he has another pshat. He says, as Jews, we live in three worlds. We live in the past, the present, and the future. And everything we do in life has to have one eye towards the past, where we came from. We have to have where we are, and where we want to go to. And those are the three eyes of a Jew. Past, present, and future. And he says, that's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Remember the Mishnah? Look at three things. It's all here in source number 11, if you want to read it after. Look at three things, and you won't come to an Avera. Me'ayin bata, where'd you come from? Past. Ula'ana taholech, where are you going? Present. V'lefni mi'ata aselitin din v'cheshman, who you going to have to stand in judgment in front of? Future. Past, present, and future. Those are the three eyes of the Jew. And then he even adds, we have three avos. And they each symbolize another one of these areas. Avram Avinu, we'll start with the other ones. Yitzchak was the first Jew with a perfect past. First Jew at Bris Milah on day 8. First Jew who was born Jewish. Yitzchak represents the past. Yaakov Avinu was the first Av with children, Mitaso Shlema. There was no child that was thrown out. The Shiftei Ka, that symbolizes future. Children are our future. And then Avram Avinu was busy being Megayer Sagerim in the present, doing Chesed, so that's Avram Avinu. So the three eyes of a Jew, past, present, and future, the three Avos, and the Mishnah. Just related to the we have to look at three eyes, I saw just the Shabbos. I saw an amazing story that from Rav Zusha. Rav Zusha, the brother of the Noam Elimelech. So Rav Zusha was once walking, and he came to a fork in the road. And he sees a Jew on the side, sitting on a rock, crying. He's like, what's the matter? What's the matter? So he says, I don't know which way to go. He's like, why? He says, look, there was a sign with like arrows that had fallen down. He says, there used to be a sign here to tell me which way to Warsaw. But now the sign's on the floor. I have no idea how to get there. He's like, I'm so upset. So Reb Zusha's like, don't worry. Don't worry, we'll put the sign back up. He's like, what do you mean put the sign back up? What, are you going to guess? He says, no. He says, I know I came from Annapolis. So I'll just face the arrow from Annapolis towards where I just came from, and then I'll know where Warsaw is. He says, wow, so smart. He says, sometimes you just got to know where you came from, and that will help you to know where you're going to. I saw that on Shabbos. I was like, oh, that's a good one. Sometimes you could use that at a simcha. You know, where are they going in this marriage? All they have to do is look back. All they have to look back is the parents and the grandparents. Just look back to Annapolis. Right? Just look back. Sometimes to know where to put up the sign, where the arrow is going to be, you have to know where you came from in order to know where you're going to. Okay, one idea. Time for one more? Okay, one more. The end of the Torah. The end of the Torah, that's what we lay in on. You want something on Hazinu or Zos HaBracha? You tell me, this Shabbos, you need something for the Shabbos? Hazinu, give something on Hazinu. You could say it the next Shabbos also, because you all just have read it. Hazinu. Hazinu sometimes gets a bad rap, you never get to do it, it's in between. Here's a great Vard on Hazinu. It says towards the end of the Parsha that Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain, Har Nevo, Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh. In the middle of the day. Rashi quotes Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh. Three times it says Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh. This is also a Yom Kippur fart, so it's good. It says Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh three times. When Moshe died, Rashi says, and Yitzias Mitzrayim and Noach, the Mabel. And Rashi quotes why. What do those three have in common? Because by each one, people were going to say, oh, I'm not going to let it happen. Hashem says, I'm doing it in the middle of the day, Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh. Let's see if you could stop me. By the Mabel, they said, oh, we're not going to let Noach on the Teva. Oh, yeah? Let's see. Be'etzem HaYom, in the middle of the day, Hashem brought the Mabel. Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Mitzrayim said, we're not going to let him out. Yitzias Mitzrayim, Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, in the middle of the day. And the strangest one, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to go up to Har Nevo to die, but Yisrael said, we're not letting him go up. What, they're going to prevent him from dying? We're not going to let him go up. But either way, Hashem says, Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, he's going to go up. That's Rashi's pshat. By one story, there could be another pshat. To connect the three, and it will relate to what Matthew just said, Yom Kippur is also Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh. V'yinisim adnashos echem Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh. What's the connection between these four? All three represented transitions in world history. Pre and post the Mabel, the Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, that moment was life-changing, life-altering for the world. Pre and post Mabel. Pre and post Yitzias Mitzrayim. It was altering. It was a different existence. Pre and post Moshe Rabbeinu's death. The door of Moshe and the door of Yeshua, different worlds. Yom Kippur has to be that for us every year. The Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh. Pre and post Yom Kippur were different people. We should think of ourselves as a different world. Right? The Gemara says in Brachas that if you didn't see somebody for 12 months, you have to say a bracha. Remember that? You don't see somebody for a month, it's Shachianu. You don't see somebody for 12 months, what are you supposed to say? Mechayim Esim. So we don't say that with Shem and Malchus nowadays. Because they say, you know, we knew that they were alive, but the Marsha in that Gemara says, it doesn't mean 12 months. It means if you see them after a Yomim Noraim, that you hadn't seen them beforehand. Because after Yom Naram, you get your life. You're a new person. And therefore, Mechayim Esim. That's the bracha, says the Marsha there. But again, that's Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh. The point of our life is to have Yom Kippur as Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, but really as many days as we can to make it transitionary days in our lives, Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh. That's Yom Kippur, that's Hazinu, and that's as many days as we can on the Jewish calendar. Okay, I guess we'll stop here so we don't have to get to the thing in the base measures. Yeah.
It's a man on the stairs, my young man said, the turn.